We're working our way through the Old Testament. We find ourselves in Psalms. And a couple of months ago, if you were here with us, I asked you to give me some requests. I'm not going to preach every last Psalm in here. 150 of them. We are trying to hit the highlight reel of the Old Testament instead of every last thing that's there. And every last Psalm is going to be hard to preach, like I said. So we have took some highlights and asked for some requests. Guess what 50% of the requests were in Psalms? 23. Psalm 23, like you've never heard that. Like, you know, you want to see, I want to see the preacher preach on something that everybody's heard of before. Make it hard on me, aren't you? Well, we're going to do that. We're going to spend a couple Sundays together over Psalm 23. The difficulty of Psalm 23 is that we know it, or we think we do. But in demonstration of that, instead of us reading it, let's quote it. I bet more than half of us here can quote Psalm 23 from memory. Are you ready? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Did you hear how I quoted it? King James. You notice I don't read King James here on Sunday mornings, because we've had the New American Standard, the NIV, since 77, basically. So I learned this prior 77. So we're talking about probably first grade, First Baptist Church, Bridge City, Texas, is more or less the time that I learned it. Most of us sitting here, that's probably when you learned it, didn't you? Regardless of what church you were in, every denomination, this psalm is a psalm that we love. We hear it on all settings, quite often in funerals and other places. But it is a psalm that's near and dear to us because we connect with it so well. We connect with it very well at the same time, except we don't. In fact, I would submit to you, if we do what the psalm says and let God be our shepherd, we wouldn't be probably in the half the trouble that we're in this congregation, just as individuals. If the Lord truly was our shepherd, not our advisor. You don't advise sheep. He's not our educator. You don't educate sheep. They don't get educated. Sheep need a shepherd, constant with them. And the sheep, the only thing the sheep can know is who the shepherd is and what the shepherd wants them to do. And that's the only thing you can do for a sheep. So we're going to be spending a number of Sundays together, probably two or three Sundays together over this. We're not even going to get to a single verse pretty much more or less today. One of the most familiar passages, like I said, of Scripture, so familiar that we may not be familiar with it. One of the problems with this psalm is it's in the setting of a shepherd and sheep. Do we have any sheep herders here? Anybody? Anybody ever owned a sheep ever in their entire life in this room? One, two. And what did you raise it for a fair or something? What did you do with it? No sheep herders here. Not a huge amount of experience. So for the most part, including myself, have no experience with sheep. And so we're coming at this from a perspective. It's written from a perspective of a person, King David, who was a shepherd himself and who was responsible for his father's sheep since a very young age in a culture, an agrarian culture, which he wrote this in. And so there's some assumptions here that we dare not assume. So we're going to spend some time together, like I said, on this. We're going to be starting out with the basics and build up from there. And the basics we're going to be covering today is really who the players are in this incredible psalm. Who are the characters and the players? And the first character we're going to consider is the us part of the character. King David obviously is writing about himself, but we're applying it to our own lives. So we're character number one, not necessarily in order of importance, because obviously this character, the psalm is about the shepherd, but there is a player in here, and that's that the shepherd is over the sheep. And that's the first thing we need to deal with together here. Are you willing to accept the designation of being a sheep? Cool with that. It's all good. It's perfect. See, we don't mind the designation of sheep. The thing that we mind is the characteristics of the sheep. See, in order to if you want to call yourself a sheep, you have to assume the characteristics, and the characteristics are not popular. If we were playing a game and I let you choose, You could be any animal in the world. I promise you, there's not a hardly a one of you, maybe none of you. In fact, if you did, I would wonder about you if you chose to be a sheep. They're just not popular. Their characteristics, their position in the world is not popular. Again, if we were playing the barnyard game, no one would volunteer. Oh, I want to play the sheep. Why? That would be my question. Why would you want to be a sheep? Because the overriding characteristic of the sheep is that they're utterly stupid. They're dumb. That's the most important thing you need to know about a sheep. They don't know anything. So let's back up. Are you willing to accept the designation that the Scripture gives us of being sheep? Not just in Psalm 23. Almost 200 times in the Bible, Old and New Testament, it says that we are sheep. We're not dogs. We're not cats. We're not donkeys. We're not elephants or giraffes or bats or birds or anything. We're sheep. Are you willing to accept that designation? So, sheep are dumb. How dumb are they? I'm glad you asked. You ready? They have an intellect rivaled only by garden tools. They are dumber than a bag of hammers, a box of rocks, a bucket full of hair. They are a few tacos short of a fiesta platter. If they ate soup, it would be with a fork. They have lost contact permanently with the mothership. They are a few atoms short of critical mass. There's a fire in the fireplace, but their chimney is clogged. They don't have all their dogs on one leash. Their elevator, of course, does not go to the top. They forgot to pay their brain bill. Their sewing machine has no thread. Their antenna does not pick up all the channels. Their cheese has slid off its cracker. There's no grain in their silo. There's a leak in their skylight. That's how dumb they are. This is my favorite. They got a kink in their slinky. Their cornbread's not done in the middle. And if they had an extra brain, it would be lonely. Do you still want to be a sheep? Do you still want to be a sheep? Now, let me just say this. The option is not whether you are a sheep. It's just whether you're willing to accept the role of a sheep because you just are a sheep. You really, really are. You know, you can say the world's flat and the sky is, I don't know, some weird color. But the fact is it's not flat and the sky is blue. But you can call reality whatever you want it. And there's people, a lot of people doing that. We're having a big problem today with gender confusion. Well, that's the craziest thing I've ever heard of. Well, the doctor, you're born, and he looks at you, and he says, we're not sure if it's a male or a female. We're going to have to wait to see how it feels 10 years from now. What? We're nuts. We're crazy. We're a bunch of sheep. We're a bunch of sheep advising each other about how we should live life. And that's why we're coming to these crazy conclusions, because we've separated ourselves from the shepherd. We're doing that here in the nation. So what should we expect? More and more stupid. More and more. Exponential. Added to it and piled on top of it. And that's just what's going to happen. But let's back up again. Do you really want to be a sheep? You are a sheep anyway. But do you really want the designation? And by the way, there's no remedy for stupid. You can't fix it, as they say. The sheep never says you graduate from being a sheep in the Bible. You never graduate. You go to heaven, you could still be a sheep up there. I think you're smarter in heaven, but I don't know, not smart enough. You always will need a shepherd. And that's one of the things you need to know about a sheep. A sheep without a shepherd is dead. Just plain dead. So if you're going to run your own life your own way, I'm going to make a very solid prediction for you. You're a goner. You're going to ruin it. You're going to trash it. And you're going to die and enter eternity with regret. I'm telling you right now. As a Christian, yes, enter eternity with regret. Yeah, it predicts that in the Scriptures if that's the way you want to live. If you decide that you're not going to live your life as a sheep, which means you have to submit yourself underneath a shepherd. Don't call him shepherd and not do what he says. You're lying to yourself. So I got a sheep lying to himself? How dumb is that? That's really dumb. Don't do that. You're willing to accept the position as a sheep. Oh, given the proper instruction and learning environment, they can overcome it. No, they can't. They don't have it. They're never going to have it. So I'm trying to paint as clear a picture as I possibly can. So are you okay with being a sheep? You got to decide that, because the whole shepherd issue is out the window. Can't even discuss about God being your shepherd and all that kind of stuff unless you're willing to be a sheep. Okay, I'm a sheep. I understand that I'm dumb. Well, I'm going to add to that. Not only are you dumb, this is a wonderful sermon, isn't it? I'm sure Joel Osteen's preaching on this right now. You're dumb and defenseless. You know, it's not popular in pulpits because it doesn't add people to the church. And it doesn't add money into the coffers. It just doesn't. People don't want to hear the message of the truth. They really don't. There's going to be less and less people. So you need to decide which side you're going to be on. I'm just being as real as I can with you. But there are other churches that will not tell you the things that I'm telling you. And I may get fired. You know, maybe this church will go right to being one that you'll like. But as long as I'm up here, I'm going to tell you what it says. And by the way, I'm a sheep. Did you know that? So I got sheep giving sheep advice? No. That's why I'm limited to say what the shepherd says. I'm not limited to give you advice based upon my opinions, because if I did that, well, then I would have a bigger church probably, right? Probably not. So added to the stupidity of a sheep is their lack of any offensive or defensive abilities. They are zero in this category. There is zero in pretty much every category. There are other animals, by the way. I keep forgetting this. There's a picture of a sheep. Are you willing to do that? Are you willing to accept? Okay, this is what you call objective truth. Subjective truth says that you're not this. It says you can be whatever you want to be, you can achieve, you can grow, you can become. You don't need anyone say over your life, you know how it works, you've got it all figured out, right? That's subjective. That's what the world's giving you, what they think. Again, sheep giving sheep advice, and you come up with exponential stupidity. The Bible says this is who you are. If you're willing to accept your role, it's fine. But a sheep that thinks he's something else is dead. Dead. Gone. Washed up. Trashed. But a sheep that thinks he's a sheep and operates as a sheep will be fine. In fact, more than fine. It'll be great. That's the whole psalm. That's what the whole psalm is about. It's about David saying, man, my life is awesome because I have a shepherd. But he accepts his role as a sheep. But you've got to decide whether you're going to fall on that. But a sheep doesn't have any kind of offensive or defensive abilities. A similar level of stupidity is one of those. You look into those eyes and there's nothing in there because there's nothing in there. Now, there are a lot more people in here that have been around cows, and you know what I'm talking about. But the difference between a cow and a sheep is not their level of intelligence. It's their ability to defend themselves. A sheep, if you get on the wrong side of a sheep, who cares? You get on the wrong side of a cow, and they will stomp a mud hole in you. They will. So they have what they lose in brains, they gain in brawn, but the sheep neither has brains nor brawn. The sheep, let's go back to him. The sheep has no fangs, it has no claws, it has no horns, or if it does, they're curved and blunted. It has no fearsome appearance. Does that scare off anything? They cannot run very fast. If they could, it wouldn't matter because they're too dumb to know where to run to. They cannot hide because in a world of blacks and browns and greens, what color is a sheep? Yeah. So where's your camouflage ability? Sheep has nothing going for it. Nothing. Again, are you okay with that? You really need to be okay with that. I said, as long as if you're a sheep and you're okay with being a sheep, you're going to be fine. If you're a sheep and not okay with being a sheep, you got more than gender issues happening here. You got a whole orientation, entire worldview. And a sheep that doesn't fall into the role of a sheep but does not last long for sure. Practically everywhere and every message that we get from our culture points us away from this reality, tells us we're anything but sheep. Tells us we're the most highest evolved, right? In our world today, we're the most highest evolved. Okay, so let me take this whole congregation and I'm going to transplant you into the elements for the next 7 days to 10 days. How many in this room will die? So you're higher evolved, but I can take my dog and cat, put them in the elements, they'll be fine. You're better than them? The whole evolution thing makes no sense whatsoever. It doesn't fit any kind of scenarios. It's not scientific. It's easily disproven. And I can disprove it by the fact that demonstrate that you didn't come from those because you would have kept their characteristics. You don't have them. You can't survive in the wild because you're a sheep. Sheep can't live by themselves. They have to have a shepherd. Again, the whole message of you're dumb and defenseless is not popular. I know it's not. But it is reality. But our itching ears want to hear words like this. You're your own master. You know what's best for you. Follow your own heart. It's the worst things that sheep could ever think. For that to think that it's its own master, that it knows what it's doing, that it knows where it's going, that it knows what's best for itself, is lethal for this creature. Absolutely lethal. And the Bible says almost 200 times that you and I are sheep. Again, we have to accept objective truth. Truth that stands outside of us, where someone stands outside and says, listen, no, this is who you really are. Save yourself. Subjective truth is like trying to do brain surgery upon yourself with a mirror. It's not going to work. Half the shepherd's job is to deliver the sheep from himself. Even if the world was neutral, the sheep wouldn't live long without a shepherd. Of course, the world we live in is not neutral. It is very malevolent toward the sheep. But even if the world was neutral, and let me give you an example. Not too many years ago, shepherds were taking breakfast break outside of the town of Gevas, Turkey. Several shepherds with several of the sheep pulled together in this little corral that they had made. They put up a gate, or someone thought they had closed the gate, but they forgot to. Well, they're sitting about 100 yards from their sheep, and they had a congregation of about 2,000 sheep in this little corral. And they're talking shop, and one of them happens to look up just in time to see one of the sheep walk through the unclosed gate and walk straight off a 200-foot cliff. Boom, gone. They throw everything down, and before they can get to the sheep, 1,500 of the 2,000 sheep in the corral follow the sheep over. 450 to 500 of them die upon impact, either from the ground or from other sheep falling on top of them, and the rest of them live because it starts getting cushiony, you know, after a while. Estimated losses of these shepherds was over $100,000. Why? Was a wolf chasing the sheep? No. Sheep just follow another sheep. That's what happens. If that's what you're doing, that is your future. If you're listening to other sheep, oh, this person knows, this book knows, this movement, that, I can tell you, you're headed to a cliff. Because that person's already fallen off of it. You must hear the shepherd. Again, don't call him shepherd and not do what he says. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, Jesus says, and not do what I say? Don't lie to yourself. If he is Lord, then he has the total say over my life. If he is shepherd, then he's not my advisor. He's not, even though he counsels me, he's not my counselor. He's my absolute Lord. I do exactly what he tells me to do. So let's address this. There are areas in your life that you know God wants you to do certain things or not do certain things, and yet you're not listening to him. And yet you're claiming this psalm over your life. Huh? Stuff you need to do, isn't there? There's stuff you need to do. Sheep without a shepherd is a dead sheep. He may not be dead yet, but I'm telling you, he will not be with us very long because the world we live in is lethal to an animal with his characteristics. He has no shepherd. It's lethal to him. So because, and again, if the world is neutral, but it's not, because we have in this world this. This is the nemesis of the sheep, right? This is the bad guy. And there is an unspoken character. He's not overt, but he is definitely covert in Psalm 23. It's not a neutral world we live in. One of the reasons why we need a shepherd is because we're dumb. The other reason why we need the shepherd is because of that. The world is not neutral. And by the way, this guy is everything the sheep is not. He's smart. He's crafty. He's cagey, he's deadly weapons, claws, teeth, muscles, he's a master at camouflage, he runs fast, he hunts best in the dark, he's everything the sheep isn't. He's the nemesis of the sheep, but he's more than a nemesis. You understand, guys, without the shepherd, the devil is not just our nemesis. Nemesis implies equality, right? You're my nemesis is sort of like, what is it now, Batman and Superman? I mean, again, what is our world coming to with Batman and Superman got to fight? I don't understand that. Batman and Superman, they're sort of their nemesis, right? They're equals, right? Well, it's not Batman and Superman here. is Superman and a dumb sheep. He's everything you're not, and you will never be his equal, ever, ever. And he will chew you up and spit you out. But listen, in the sheep world, you know, one of the things, of all the things that sheep don't know, which is pretty much everything, another thing that they don't know is they don't know the call of a wolf. They hear a call of a wolf or coyote, you know what it means to them? Nothing. Nothing. Because they don't have the sense enough to know that it's danger. They just don't. So what is the call of the wolf, the malevolent creature that's out there pursuing us sheep? What is his call to us? I've already told it to you, but here it is. His call to you is, you don't need a shepherd. You've got it figured out. His call is, you're fine making your own decisions. You know what you're doing. That's the call of a wolf. It's lethal. It's deadly. He's calling you out is what he's doing. Separating you from the flock. Pulling you from the shepherd. Because he knows your only shot is the shepherd. Because he's way better than you. Gets you to think, you don't need the shepherd. I don't need to follow the shepherd. I can have him as an advisor. I can have him as a certain place in my life. He's in a certain room in my house. But the rest of the house, I get to rule and reign. Okay, yeah, do that. Watch what happens. You're going to find out how lethal the wolf is. He's not your equal. He's not your nemesis. He's way more than that. Which brings us to the main character, which is the main character of this whole psalm. The one that the psalm is primarily about. The shepherd. Notice, as David says here, the Lord is my shepherd. So David is an old man, by the way. This is not David riding in a field somewhere, keeping his father's sheep. This is later in his reign as king, after making some very great decisions and some massive blunders in his life. The Lord is my shepherd, he says, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And he goes on from there. Notice David claims him to be actively shepherding his life. David doesn't say, God was my shepherd, or I want him someday to be my shepherd. What does he say? The Lord is today my shepherd. Today, now David's vacillated in and out of God's shepherdship. He's made some big blunders, massive ones, haunted him for the rest of his life. So he's vacillated in and out of following God as shepherd at different times in his life, but he's always come back to this center of God's my shepherd. And it really truly is, guys, a day-to-day decision. Every day we got to decide, okay, God, here's all my stuff, here's all that I am, here's all that I've got, and I'm pushing it across the table to you. I'm one of the worst enemies for myself, including the wolf. I'm in huge danger. But let me ask you this. Are you afraid of the future? In other words, does the current election horizon, global horizon, strike fear into you? It does. It should. And let me just say this to qualify it. No matter how afraid you are, you're not near afraid enough. Not near. Because you can't be. Because sheep can't be. They just don't have enough sense. They just don't know. And I do believe that if God showed us everything that this guy was capable of, everything that was headed toward us, if he just sat down with you and unraveled this scroll that had all of your life in front of you, your little ticker would stop and you'd fall over dead. Sheep just can't take it. So every day they got to wake up and say, God, I don't know what today holds. And you don't. Or tomorrow, or this week, or next month, or this coming year, or for the foreseeable future in my life. I don't know what it holds, God, but I'm giving it all, I'm passing it all across the table to you. And I want you to be in control, and I want you to shepherd my life. And that means me stopping saying no to you. And me qualifying, Lord, Lord, by also doing exactly what you say. Have you done that? Can you say the same thing about that David said? I mean, that's really a question we need to ask. So we like this psalm and we can quote it and we love it and we've known it since, like for me, first grade. But is it really true for you and me? And notice what else. David's not overly concerned about what he's doing, where he's going, whether or not he'll make it, how it will work out. By the way, these are not concerns of a sheep. And if they are concerns of a sheep to a large extent, I will show you a sheep that does not have a shepherd. because that sheep thinks he still makes his own decisions and calls his own shots and goes his own way. But David is not overly concerned about that kind of stuff. Why? Because he's got himself a shepherd, you see. See, they're mutually exclusive. Either I'm concerned about my stuff and the way my life is going and the direction I'm headed and all this, oh my goodness. Or I have a shepherd. One or the other. Which is it? You need to decide where you fall. Is it true for you? As an act of your own will. I'm not asking you if you're a Christian. I'm not asking you if you're part of the fold. You can be a part of the fold and out there running on your own. Quite possible. You belong to the shepherd, you belong to the shepherd, period. You didn't get let into the fold because you were good. You're not going to get out of the fold because you're bad. But the fact is, you can get out of the fence and fall into some very dire straits because you're trying to run your own life and out from under the care of the shepherd. So have, as an act of your will, sat down and passed the say of your life, your future, your finances, your family, everything over to him. I want to give you a chance to do that. I want you to bow your heads and close your eyes with me. We're going to call it right here, I think. I want to give you a chance to do that. First of all, and it's just an assumption on my part because I don't know. We're willing to accept the designation of a sheep. You accept the title, but I mean the character. The character of a sheep. They really don't know stuff. They really can't see what really is going on. They're unfamiliar with. And they really don't have any defenses, and they're not going to figure it out. And so the best thing that they can do, if as long as the sheep thinks he's a sheep, he's okay. But if we sheep think we're something other than sheep, it's not okay. But if we're willing to accept the designation of a sheep, then now we need to make a decision. We have to run to a shepherd. And maybe what you need to do right now in your heart is you need to say, God, I've not been walking with you as a shepherd. I claim you a shepherd. I know this psalm. Trusted you as Savior, but I've been running my own life. And here, God, before you, I'm setting down all my stuff and all that I am and all of my plans and all my ideas about how things should work out and the way I want my world to be. And I'm just going to push it across the table to you. I'm just going to push it across and say, God, you're my shepherd. I don't have a right to say no to you. I don't have a right to disobey you. Because you're the shepherd. You're the Lord. I want you to be Lord over my life. That's all I'm asking, God. I just want you to be Lord. God, I'm asking the same thing. Or I'm just asking you to be Lord over my life. I'm asking you to deliver me from myself. I'm asking you, God, to open my eyes wider and wider to who you are and to what you are and can be in my life. And deliver me from these false ideas. Help me, God, to turn away from the wrong directions, my thoughts, my ways, my inclinations, my listening to a world full of sheep. Forgive me, God. Cleanse me from this. Lord, cleanse us from these things. And I pray, God, that you'd be the shepherd over us. Thank you so much, God, for loving us, for being so kind and gentle and patient with us. Lord, I pray that in our process of reviewing this psalm, that you would just come into a new place in our lives, just a new relationship, a renewed place, God, where we walk so close with you and we let you make our decisions and we let you carry our burdens. And all the things you say that you're going to do for us, that you want to do for us. We let you do all those things. Thank you, God, for being patient and kind and forgiving us. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.